This is Matt Connickson. I'm the sales agronomist with CHX Ag Services in Oakley, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHX Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Jamie Dickerman along with Randy Conan in studio. Big change to our weather pattern starting today in the region. National Weather Service Grand Forks meteorologist Carl Jones said much warmer temperatures are in the forecast heading into the weekend.
Sunday into Monday, we might even be getting our highs into the 40s. Some in the southern Red River Valley could even be seeing highs close to 50 degrees by Tuesday.
Several chances for precipitation coming in with the warm weather beginning on Sunday and continuing on through Wednesday.
We're not looking at any sort of precipitation that should bring a lot of amounts. These types of systems that we'll be moving through will be rather quick moving. They'll be coming in a clipper-like fashion, rather fast moving, and generally overall lighter amounts.
Recent rainfall in northern Argentina provided some relief from persistent dryness, but not enough to ensure strong late-season crop development. Dry conditions are expected to return over the next 10 days, bringing renewed moisture and heat stress. This could lead to further declines in corn, sorghum, and soybean production. Meanwhile, southern Argentina is set to receive significant rainfall, improving cropping conditions in areas like southern La Pampa and Buenos Aires, which have suffered from extended dryness. In Brazil, field work in Mato Grosso has progressed quickly, with early season soybean harvesting and safrina corn planting moving ahead. However, rain next week could slow field operations for up to 7 days, potentially impacting late February corn planting and yields.
Senate Republicans pushing through a $340 billion budget framework after an all-night session, advancing a plan that funds border security and mass deportation efforts. The measure passed largely along party lines, 52-48, with all Democrats and one Republican, Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, voting against it. Senator John Hoeven talked about the importance of this bill.
This legislation is about border security, which is national security. It's about more support for our military and also producing more energy to truly make this country energy dominant. And at the same time, we're going to make sure that it's paid for.
Senator Kevin Cramer talked about how it will be paid for.
It unleashes more of the minerals and the energy assets that the federal government owns and the American people own. And so it's very narrow, but we'll have another couple of more opportunities to expand on that. And then we expect the House will do their big bill hopefully next week.
Cramer said he's hopeful to get some good, solid tax policy with this legislation.
When I think of farm country, I think of the bonus depreciation, the ability for small businesses to depreciate the equipment that they purchase in the year that they purchase it. And these are huge. And by the way, research and development tax credit, which is also very important to the advancement of technologies in agriculture and other manufacturing. And so, there's still a lot of work to do, but last night was a historic first step.
The budget framework includes up to $175 billion for border security, $150 billion for the Pentagon, $20 billion for the Coast Guard.
The word uncertainty is heard over and over again when talking about agriculture's future. American Farm Bureau President Zippy Duvall is urging newly confirmed Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins to take immediate action.
America's farmers and ranchers are no stranger to uncertainty, but the challenges they face today call for immediate attention and decisive leadership. With the confirmation of Brooke Rollins as Secretary of Agriculture, the USDA has the opportunity to continue its long history of working with farmers and ranchers to prioritize security and sustainability.
Duvall reiterated his confidence in Rollins' ability to get that job done.
We are at a pivotal time as farm country is facing economic pressure, unpredictable markets, and policy decisions that could have long-lasting consequences. While we have confidence in Secretary Rollins and her staff's ability to navigate these challenges, the urgency of the situation requires swift action.
Yesterday, U.S. Secretary of Ag Brooke Rollins announcing the USDA will release the first tranche of funding that was paused due to the review of funding in the Inflation Reduction Act. In alignment with the White House directive, Secretary Rollins will honor contracts that were already made directly to farmers, specifically USDA releasing approximately $20 million in contracts for the Environmental Quality Incentive Program, Conservation Stewardship Program and the Agricultural Conservation Easement Program.
The South Dakota Legislature has passed an act reassigning the State Brand Board to the Office of School and Public Lands for reporting purposes. The board was previously attached to the Department of Ag and Natural Resources. Mobridge Area Rancher Amber Haskrew testified that cattle producers have had many problems with the brand board over the years.
The loss of 83 animals demanded that we defend our herd. We were night patrolling. I hired an armed guard to watch over the herd. More than once, we were chasing multiple people away who were trying to access our herd at the same time. It is hard to express the intensity that I have been through to defend our herd. I asked for help, and I was shocked to find out the brand board had sat on my November report of theft and didn't even post it on their own website. They didn't have a single phone call with my sheriff, who they insisted was responsible for investigation. In April, I was bounced from board to sheriff and back again, both claiming it was the other's job to investigate.
Policy advisor Governor Roden Megan Goltz testified in opposition of the bill.
Being a rancher and brand holder himself, Governor Roden understands the importance of an effective and reliable brand board. He remains steadfast in his commitment to ensuring agriculture is able to thrive throughout the state. Under the current structure, the Department of Agriculture and Natural Resources has been able to regularly hear feedback and organize meetings directly with the brand board and other stakeholders. While the department would continue to do all they can to protect and preserve agriculture in South Dakota, this bill would create unnecessary confusion. We respect the Office of School and Public Lands. However, this bill shifting of the brand board would also create inefficiencies throughout state government.
Under the new law, the brand board will continue overseeing livestock brand registration and enforcement, with a staff director appointed to manage operations.
U.S. Class 1 railroads originating 25,500 grain carloads during the week ending February 8th. That's unchanged from the previous week and 2% less than a year ago. The average March secondary railcar bids offers were $600 above tariff, $406 more than the previous week, $229 more than last year.
This is National FFA Week. Minnesota FFA Alumni President Kara Sukup said that originally she thought FFA wasn't going to be for her.
I didn't think it was something I wanted to participate when I got into high school, and then saw a lot of my friends going to different activities and coming back really excited and kind of finding some unique things to apply what we've been learning in school. So I was like, well, what's going on with this? I kind of want to know a little bit more about that. And I guess it just from there, it just kind of ignited my excitement for agriculture and what I was already living in that I probably just took for granted all the years that that I was living on the farm.
Sukup said her role as alumni president is a good way for her to be a mentor to the organization as it continues to grow.
Back when I was in FFA, I think we were right around 8,000 members, and now we're at a little over 14,000. And looking ahead to 2027, 2028 school year, all students that are enrolled in ag education in Minnesota will automatically be FFA members. So that's really going to bump up the FFA students from 14,000 to, I believe it's closer to 40,000.
This National FFA Week message sponsored by Proceed, Nutrient, and the Red River Farm Network.
Martinson Ag Risk Management President Randy Martinson says with a lack of fresh news, grain traders are continuing to chase the headlines.
What's surprising is that, you know, you're looking at the largest crop ever coming out of Brazil, and soybeans are the market that's trading with the best gains so far this week. And now that kind of maybe leads a little bit to the idea that, you know, demand is really the big driver right now, and there's hints of demand coming in for the U.S. for our products at this point.
Money flow is also a factor.
You know, I think it's a combination of both. I think right now it's the money movement because we don't see the demand, or we haven't seen it yet. It's just been talk of it. But a lot of countries now, when they started talking about the retaliation tariffs, there are a lot of companies or a lot of countries are now talking about coming in and buying more U.S. ag products to kind of even up that trade imbalance that we've been seeing.
USDA's weekly export sales report, which was delayed one day due to the President's Day holiday Monday, shows corn exports sales during the week ending February 13th at 1.45 million metric tons. That's 27% less than the previous week and 12% less than the four-week average. Combined old and new crop soybean export sales of 500,000 metric tons, substantially more than the previous week, but 21% less than the four-week average. Combined old and new crop wheat sales, 631,000 tons, 4% more than the previous week, 41% more than the four-week average.
Barged grain movement during the week ending February 15th, totaling 670,500 tons. Now that's 8% more than the previous week, 25% more than the last year. The rate to ship a metric ton of grain from the Gulf to Japan was 46.25. That's up 2% from the previous week. The rate from the Pacific Northwest to Japan was $27 per metric ton. That's up 1% from the previous week.
USDA's weekly export sales report for the week ending February 13 showed net beef sales 21,500 metric tons, 64% more than the previous week, 35% more than the four-week average. Beef shipments were down 5% from the previous week. Net pork sales of 25,600 metric tons, 3% more than the previous week, but 27% less than the four-week average. Pork shipments were down 4% from the previous week at 30,000 metric tons.
As the 2025 planting season approaches, U.S. farmers are expected to shift a significant portion of acreage to corn, driven by strong prices and demand. According to a report from CoBank, corn prices have been boosted by tight global stocks, strong export demand, and record ethanol production, making it the most profitable option for many farmers. This trend is expected to reduce acreage for competing crops, such as soybeans and spring wheat. The report projecting U.S. corn acreage will increase by 4.2% to 94.5 million acres, with corn harvested for grain rising by 5.0%. However, potential trade disputes with Canada and Mexico could pose risks to this increase, as trade disruptions may weaken demand for U.S. corn. Soybean acreage is expected to decrease by 3.6%, while spring wheat acres projected to fall by 5.9%.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Let's catch up with Ag Week guest reporter Mikkel Pates. Mikkel, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week?
Well, this is a story about a drainage governance issue. And as North Dakotans have done drainage across the years and legal drains, they've needed to update things that are about 100 years old. Often were put in place more than 100 years old and now need updating. And so the project got started several years ago in a 10-mile segment of a 40-mile project. And it was challenged in court, and on technicalities they failed to stop the project at the small level, but eventually it got heard by the Supreme Court, and they said, no, if you want to have a use eminent domain to widen ditches and so on, you need to have had a vote on the project. And what that means is that a lot of the bonds and so on that were approved for this project needed to be revisited because the project did not comply with laws. But it essentially it is a whole change that requires a lot of legislative rethinking, and that's what's happening at the state legislature right now. And it really does change the thinking for these legal drain projects in the state.
Sounds interesting, Mikkel. Looking forward to reading about it in next week's Ag Week.
Looking at futures quotes right now, we're seeing Minneapolis March wheat down 1.5, 6.31 1/4. We got Chicago March up 3 cents, 5.88 1/2. Kansas City March up a penny, 6.08 1/2. March corn is down 6.5 right now, 4.91 1/2. December corn down 4.75, 4.74 3/4. Soybeans March were down 5 3/4, 10.39 3/4. November soybeans down 2 at 10.59 1/4. Reporting agriculture's business, this is the Red River Farm Network.